This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on AFCEA Answers, can we really march and compute at the same time? The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis, defense editor of Signal Magazine. Welcome to our inaugural edition of AFCEA Answers, a radio show where we'll explore some of the top information technology issues in the military, homeland security, and intelligence with industry and government leaders. With us in the studio today, General Ronnie Hawkins of the U.S. Air Force. He's the director of the Defense Information Systems Agency. Also, Kevin Manwiller and Mike Mulville with Cisco Systems here in Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome today. General, we wanted to talk about mobility today, and it's a topic that is top of mind for DISA and for our industry partners who work with you on this subject. I wanted to start by asking you what mobility means in the Department of Defense and the services of the United States military.
Well, mobility means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but predominantly when we look at it from the perspective of what we do in the joint information environment, we see it as one of the disruptive technologies that we're bringing to bear. It brings us into the focus of being able to move our information wherever we need to move it and also be able to do it from a platform that does not tie us to a desk. So we remove the desk-centric focus that we currently have. Mm-hmm. And we put the information in the hands of the warfighter wherever he or she might be.
Mm-hmm. The mantra has been you train as you fight. And I guess in this case, the mantra is you compute as you fight.
But not only do you compute, but you move your information as you fight. And that's what we're wanting to do when we look at mobility and what it is we're able to do as a result of going to the types of devices that we're looking at within the mobile environment, secure as well as unsecure.
Mm-hmm. Kevin and Mike, what are some of the challenges that General Hawkins and his colleagues have brought to you and your colleagues in industry in regards to mobility?
Well, I think one of the key topics that have been brought to us is security. And security comes top of mind anytime you're bringing mobile devices onto the network out there. So it's really industry's responsibility to come back with commercial off-the-shelf solutions that can provide these mobile solutions and get the warfighter on the network safely and securely so that they can be more productive in their environment.
Mm-hmm. I think also that anytime, anywhere, always on, no matter where you go, whether it's classified, secure, unsecured, those aspects are really kind of the challenges that we are working to meet.
General, do you feel that the industry and also maybe your agency to some degree, do you have all the tools that you need to answer those challenges and to be able to provide the warfighter what they need when it comes to having data in the field and at the deployment line? Or is this a work in progress?
This is definitely a work in progress. And when we start looking at what we're doing within the space of security and working with our partners, our industry partners, the thing that we've done now is we've moved the focus on security up front rather than waiting until we've baked in our architecture. And when we put in the security requirements guides and given them to industry, they are able to work in the security perspectives that we have for Department of Defense and do that on the front end. So do we have everything we need? I think the answer to that is no. Are we going at it the right way? I know the answer to that is yes.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the priorities, are you able to say if security has been handled, if the ability to provide enough bandwidth to the warfighter in the field, are those being met? Are those being taken care of in a manner that you and your colleagues in leadership are satisfied with right now?
Well, when it comes to bandwidth, you never have enough of it. But when you look at the technologies that are out there and how we are able to move the information, how we're able to compress the data, we believe we have the right technologists working that with our industry partners. And more importantly, we're able to focus in on what it is that the warfighter needs, and that is the information anytime, anywhere, and any place. And so when you start looking at the disconnected environment that some of our warfighters tend and possibly will have to operate within, we've got to take that into our understanding and into our focus.
Mm-hmm. Kevin and Mike, do you feel that you have what you need in industry from General Hawkins and his colleagues in order to fully understand their needs, fully understand what the warfighter needs out in the field?
Yeah, I feel like we do. I think even outside of the Department of Defense, mobility is a big trend right now. There's commercial companies, you know, Cisco included, who are enabling their employees and their staff with mobile devices and transmitting sensitive information out there. So the onus has been on us internally to provide that securely as well. We're certainly seeing similar requirements. Obviously, there's a heightened level of security from the warfighter out there, and we're certainly taking that into consideration as well.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
I'd say that, right, we as an industry, Cisco being an industry partner, we tried to stay in front of the activities and the requirements going downstream. So baking in, right, integrating security for client and client-less solutions for mobility, really helping kind of lead a direction in an architecture, I think, is our focus. And I think we're doing a good job of that. It is a work in progress, though.
Now, General, this whole emphasis on mobility is sort of unique in government IT because in a lot of ways it's driven by something like this. And I'm holding up my Apple iPhone.
Sure.
It's a commercial device,
sure.
Was not developed specifically with the military's needs in mind. And yet, as I've heard in a couple of stories that I've reported for Signal Magazine, in many cases, you've got young recruits and
sure.
young junior officers, all the services, all across, who are coming in with these devices and saying, why can't I do my job with these devices? And what are the challenges here? Also goes to the whole concept of the digital government strategy and bring your own device, BYOD. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, first off, as I said before in the front end, that we see mobility as a disruptive technology. And because of what we're seeing from the workforce and the requirements and the requests to bring in different types of devices, mobile devices. And as Mike was alluding to, we've got to make sure we bake the security in on the front end. When we do those things and working with our industry partners in concert, when we do those things in on the front end, the type of device is not the issue. We just want to make sure we have the security as a part of it. And then the device becomes a thin client to us. It disconnects us from the desktop and the user, be it the young person that's coming into the Department of Defense or the military that uses their device at home, we're able to also do the same thing within the Department of Defense. In fact, the Apple is one of the devices that has met the security requirements, as are many others that we have. The Razer, we have a host of them that we're able to do that with now. But that's as a result of us working together in concert with industry. As far as BYOD goes, we're still working that within the Department of Defense. Ms. Takai, the DOD CIO, is still working that strategy, and we know that's going to be coming. But even when we talk to our industry partners and what is going on in the private sector, BYOD has its own set of challenges, and we've got to realize that and work within it.
Okay, very good. Well, General, we'll talk about this some more in just a few moments. Coming up, keeping data mobile and secure. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Cisco is a worldwide leader in innovative technology that is transforming how government organizations better protect, serve, and educate their constituencies. Today, agencies are working to modernize federal IT infrastructures to help streamline processes, better connect government employees, provide superior service to citizens, and protect our country. Through a proven secure cross-architecture approach, Cisco is enabling government leaders to rethink how they deliver and safeguard critical services and assets during unprecedented budgetary challenges while increasing workforce productivity, enhancing operational efficiencies, and driving down costs. Cisco's proven products and services accelerate technology performance and business decisions and deliver a high-quality, secure, assured experience. For more information, visit Cisco at cisco.com/go/federal. That's cisco.com/go/federal.
FCA has your answers for cybersecurity. Don't miss the FCA International Cybersecurity Symposium, defining full-spectrum global cyberspace operations, June 25th through 27th in Baltimore. The Global Intelligence Forum in D.C., July 30th and 31st, will focus on defining the role of intelligence for cyber missions. Signal Magazine's June issue brings you an exclusive interview with General Keith Alexander, commander of U.S. Cyber Command, revealing his plans to reorganize the DoD cyber community. Also in the June issue, Eugene Kaspersky offers his take on critical infrastructure vulnerabilities. AFSIA also offers cybersecurity professional development courses and is partnered with Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute to bring AFSIA members their Step Forward training package with courses, certifications, and hands-on labs. Learn more about these opportunities at www.afsia.org.
And we're back with AFSIA Answers on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today, General Ronnie Hawkins with the Defense Information Systems Agency, Kevin Manwiller, and Mike Mulville from Cisco Systems here in Washington, D.C. General, the one thing that sort of came to mind when I was preparing myself for this program, and this is something that DISA helped work on. In 2008, we had a new president, President Obama, who is one of that generation of folks who had to have a BlackBerry. And he wanted very much to be able to maintain contact with people using BlackBerry. And for a little while, there was a little bit of controversy about that because the platform wasn't exactly stable and it wasn't very secure. And yet at the same time, it was your agency that was able to come up with the solution. It wasn't exactly a BlackBerry, but the president has a device that he rides around with in his car, and he's able to access his email and talk to people at the White House. And I'm kind of wondering, talk to me a little bit about the current efforts, as much as you can, when it comes to security and keeping data secure and being able to provide services in a remote environment for the warfighter, because everybody will agree you have pretty much the same challenges securing data in the field for an Army sergeant as you would in many ways for the President of the United States.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I would tell you that there are varying components to what we're talking about, and it lends the idea for what we're doing within a joint information environment and how we're putting our data across the Department of Defense. We're moving our data to the cloud, whether it is a private cloud or whether it is one that's done by the Department of Defense itself. And so securing the data is one thing that's really tied to the technologies that are out there. Moving the data is something else, and that's also tied to the mobile environment that we have, and whether or not we're looking at a virtual desktop infrastructure, whether or not we're looking at containerizing the device. That's how we make sure that we're able to move the data and keep it secure and containerized. And so all of those things are how we work with our industry partners, and we've been doing that since day one, and we will continue to evolve the joint information environment to get that done.
Kevin and Mike, what kinds of challenges does the joint information environment present to General Hawkins' industry partners? Because that's a standard. They're looking to try to obviously standardize what warfighters see, no matter whether they're in a barracks, whether they're in an office somewhere, whether they're in the Pentagon, or whether they're out in the field. We want to try to standardize the environment so that all of the services are at least operating from a common baseline when it comes to the device that they're working. What kinds of challenges does that present for industry?
Well, I think number one, you have to have a solid inventory of what devices are out there. So when you open up the door to mobility, you're going to get a lot of devices connecting in. You want to make sure you have a concrete list of approved devices so you know what's out there. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you have to have a consistent policy. And that's one of the great things about JIE and having a joint environment and having a centralized organization managing that is that you can enforce a consistent policy. So you can say, hey, I know who this person is. I know what device they're on. I'm going to allow them access. The third thing you need to do is just open up the productivity environments to it. You need to give them application stores and social network sites to be able to use so that they themselves can be more productive out there and be attached to their devices and again, increase the mobility and productivity with those devices.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
I'll just say, too, that, you know, building on the policy component is that the identity access, the authentication, the ability to have clients, client lists, the encryption within VPN, those are all critical things to be able to kind of talk and collaborate across different armed services, different divisions. And those really have to be standardized as different, you know, the devices have to be almost transparent, whether it's a razor, it's not a razor, or whatever. But those, the ability to determine what at the end device, is it secure, yes or no, and then, you know, what kind of connection can be done.
Mm-hmm. And I want to add on to what just said. The identity access management is critical to what we do. But then also the ecosystem that we're putting our mobile devices in, the mobile device manager is critical to how we're going to be able to manage that security as well. And the devices, such as Kevin was talking about, the number of devices, who's on it, whose is it, where they're at, we're doing that through the mobile device manager.
General, are you satisfied with the efforts that industry is making, and I'm talking now mostly about the folks who make the commercial devices. And you just mentioned a little while ago that the Apple iPhone was one of the devices that's recently been approved by your agency to access secure military networks. But I'm also curious, are you satisfied to the degree that you see industry working with you and your colleagues on security and in terms of trying to secure these devices and make them operate securely on your networks?
Well, just as a point of clarification, the Apple device is one of them that we're having within the mobile environment right now. The secure devices, different story, and rather would not talk about that at this point in time. But to your question, I believe we are pleased with where we're at and where we're going in that environment.
And for our partners in industry here from Cisco Systems today, are you generally satisfied with the guidance that you're getting from the Department of Defense, from General Hawkins and his colleagues in terms of where they want to go and where we all, I guess, want to go in the joint information environment in terms of security? Because it's one of those aspects that has a lot of pages to it and it's got a lot of levels to it. And it would seem to me that the specifications are important. We've also heard that acquisition can be a real challenge in terms of being able to meet acquisition with the speed of innovation. I mean, there's a lot of innovation that's going on out there, and sometimes it takes longer to buy something than it does to invent it.
Yeah, I'll say a couple things. Standards are really critical in terms of working and collaborating across industry partners, right? No vendor, no industry partner has all the answers. Cisco does a lot in this space, but there are a lot of things we have to collaborate because there's so many different partners here. And really to bring the best solutions forward, that is really critical and to have those standards.
Right. Kevin?
Yeah, I would just add integration of different security tools out there becomes very critical. The general talked about mobile device managers out there. And, you know, in Cisco being a large owner of the network out there, we're the first to see these devices coming on, for example. So we need to look for policy, and that policy can say, hey, does this mobile device manager turned on? Is it working? And is this user coming on met acceptable security policy? So as Mike had indicated and the general had indicated, there's a lot of moving parts here, and all these parts need to work together smoothly.
Sounds good. Still to come, more answers for industry, more of our conversation with DISA Director General Ronnie Hawkins. You're listening to AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Cisco is a worldwide leader in innovative technology that is transforming how government organizations better protect, serve, and educate their constituencies. Today, agencies are working to modernize federal IT infrastructures to help streamline processes, better connect government employees, provide superior service to citizens, and protect our country. Through a proven secure cross-architecture approach, Cisco is enabling government leaders to rethink how they deliver and safeguard critical services and assets during unprecedented budgetary challenges while increasing workforce productivity, enhancing operational efficiencies, and driving down costs. Cisco's proven products and services accelerate technology performance and business decisions and deliver a high-quality, secure, assured experience. For more information, visit Cisco at cisco.com/go/federal. That's cisco.com/go/federal.
Welcome back to AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Max Kakis. Our guest today is General Ronnie Hawkins, the director of the Defense Information Systems Agency. General, I want to sort of turn this around a little bit because we've been asking for some of the perspectives that you have from the DISA side and asking our guests the perspectives from the industry side. When it comes to the top priorities for industry right now, and in the area that you engage in, when it comes to information systems and IT, cybersecurity, information assurance that you and your colleagues deal with, what do you think are the top priorities that industry should know about that are top of mind, that are on the front of your desk every day when you walk into the office?
Well, the number one priority always is about security, both security of the infrastructure and the DODIN, the Department of Defense Information Network, as well as the data that we have. Part and parcel to that, the number one area that we are working right now is at the enterprise level for joint information environment and how we get our information our capabilities up into the enterprise level. So what we do there, whether it is with the enterprise email that we have, whether it's with the enterprise mobility that we have, everything is about getting it to the enterprise level. Right after that, we're looking at everything tied to unified capability and how we're able to collaborate across the environment and across the different appliances that are out there for our users to be using.
Right. Does the proliferation of those appliances, as you call them, does that create a challenge in terms of being able to create an environment that works seamlessly across different platforms?
Of course it does. And it goes back to what Mike was saying before, and Kevin as well. We've got to know what's in the environment, when it is on, and what it is that they're requesting during that time frame. So the proliferation is one of the things that we've got to look at, although that is one of the areas that we work with industry too, to make sure that we don't have an agnostic environment, but we have one that you can move the data around regardless of what the handheld appliance might be.
Kevin and Mike, is that a plus or a minus that we have so many different kinds of, you know, devices that are out there? You've got iPhones, you've got iPads, you've got Android, and you've got Windows Mobile is out there right now. And then all of this has to interact with things that are sitting on desktops, sitting in people's offices. What do you think about that?
I think ultimately it's positive, right? Because people are becoming more productive. They're able to work from a variety of different locations and with different devices out there. You know, internally at Cisco, we've got 65,000 employees, and all of us have one or two devices out there, iPhones, tablets, etc. And since we've rolled out a BYOD program, our productivity has gone way up. And with that, our costs have also gone down. And the interesting part of that is our trouble ticket and our support system costs have gone way down. So to me, it's nothing but a positive. Obviously, you have to get the security part up and running and acceptable and being able to accept the risk that comes with it. But once you have that up and running and you have a system in place that's consistent, the productivity goes way up.
Right. General, one of our defense committee members sent us a question asking if the Department of Defense, and I guess by inference, DISA, is considering the App Store model, where a device or a warfighter would grab an application that they need to do their job, to perform their mission, from a secure environment on a server behind the .mil firewall, and be able to get applications that have been approved and have been vetted for use by the warfighter. Is that a model that's being considered right now?
Not only is it a model that's being considered, it's the one that we're implementing.
Right.
And we have the mobile app store that we are going out right now with the bid on, and so can't talk much about that per
Certainly.
Se, but that architecture is definitely what we're intending to do. And most importantly, again, tie it into the productivity is because of the creativity that everybody brings to bear, and you bring those apps in and you put them up for everybody to use. That's where you get that competitive advantage again. And
right.
So that's what we're really looking for as we build out the mobile apps store architecture.
Very good. Kevin and Mike, is the App Store a good model for how we can handle and we can manage data in a mobile environment? Is that a good model? Has it been a proven model and a secure model?
I think it has. I think the key word is simplicity, and that's really what an app store gives you. It gives you a proven application and a place to get that application to allow you to do your job in a more productive environment out there. So it's one thing to open up the network to mobile devices, and it's another thing to provide useful applications that, you know, the warfighter may use or a contractor may use to do their job more effectively. So I think it's critical.
Sure. Mike?
Yeah. And I think people are used to an app store. It's kind of... it's like breathing now, right? People just know how to do it. Cisco has their own, right? And as we look at other customers in the industry they have set up their own app stores. And even elements of those are social media, other ways for them to communicate, blog, Twitter, within an organization to further collaborate. It's becoming a natural mechanism inside and outside of the work environment.
And on that note, General, thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you for your service, sir. Appreciate your coming in and joining us today.
Thanks, Mom.
And Kevin and Mike from Cisco Systems, thank you very much for joining us. Our guest today has been General Ronnie Hawkins, the Director of the Defense Information Systems Agency, DISA. Our thanks to the FCA Defense Committee for production assistance on today's show. Got a question? Got an answer? Join in the conversation at federalnewsradio.com, keyword FCA. That's where you can also download the show for listening on your schedule. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time for FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.